in the morning before school, laying in bed, listening to my father complain about where he was going to work. And that was a regular routine. He had to work outside. He was in construction. It was either too hot or too cold. And I thought to myself, man, I know I'm going to have to work when I become an adult, but I have to find something I enjoy. Right. I don't care if I make any money. I have to want to go to where we have been called. Amen. Into a vocation, and every one of us should be enjoying. Amen. What God has called us to.
That's right.
Amen. This is a privilege. It's not a penalty, folks.
Amen.
It says, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love.
Right.
Guess he knew about problems that we would have. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, how? In the bonds of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, and he that he might fill all things. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word. You have been in this place. And we're grateful.
Amen.
We know there are great things that happen here this morning. We ask God that you continue.
Amen.
Touch and bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If we could keep the screen down, I'd appreciate it. This morning I want to preach on oneness.
Yes. Amen.
But not the oneness of God. It's going to be a little different. I know you've heard message after message on the oneness of God. We know that there's just one God and his name is Jesus. We're privileged people to have that understanding and really revelation. Most of the world has no clue as to the oneness of God or who Jesus really is. Even so many religions think God is a trio. But there is no doubt in the mind of the devil who Jesus is. You know why? He's the one who kicked him out of heaven.
Amen.
Because he wanted to lift himself up higher than our God.
Right.
James 2 and 19 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And you imagine the devil trembles at the very thought of the oneness of God.
Amen.
He shudders knowing we know that there's only one God.
Amen.
And that gives us great power and authority in the name of Jesus.
Right.
So the only thing that scares the devil is knowing who Jesus is. And the other thing that really causes him to be fearful is knowing that the church of the living God knows that there's only one God and his name is Jesus. But just as important as the oneness of God is the oneness of the believers of God or the church. And we don't put as much emphasis on the oneness of the body of Christ as we do the oneness of God. All Satan's effort is to subvert the one God believing church somehow, to take us off track, to somehow divide us like he has managed to divide the oneness of God in the Trinity. So what he wants to do is divide up God in little portions, which makes it, well, without power. And he wants to divide the church into more than one body. Oh, different opinions, different doctrines, if you will. But Ephesians 4:4, it said all-powerful. There's an all-powerful scripture that says there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So there isn't any more than one God. There's only one religion. There's only one baptism, one God and Father above all and through all and in you all. Amen. Glory to God. But have you recognized the significance of the scripture before this? Verse number 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There is an onward effort, a continual effort in order to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. I looked up that word unity in the Greek yesterday, and there's only one definition, and it says oneness. Can the church keep the oneness that it was born out of? The church could not be born until they were in one accord in one place. That speaks to not only our mindset and what we believe, but where are we? We need to be together. Amen. In one place. Amen. But Pastor, I can pray to God in the woods and I can pray to God on the golf course. No, it's not the same. You see, God wants the oneness of God to be gathered in one place. Amen. Hallelujah. The word accord means unanimous. Everyone was in a total agreement, and then there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. You know what happens in song services? All of us become on the same page, singing the same words. And what happened this morning? There was a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind that moved in here and touched everyone that was on the same page. I can't overemphasize the importance of our agreement as a church. The oneness. Glory to God. Not fragmented. Not different opinions. But all on the same page. All saying the same thing. All singing the same song. Hallelujah. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter? First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For he hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Cleo, that there are contentions among you. No, in the church? What? Yes, way back 2,000 years ago, there was some, you know why there's contentions? Because people were in the church. You get rid of the people and there's complete unity. I could be a great pastor if it weren't for some of you people. Now this I say, that every one of you say, I am of Paul and I of Apollos and I of Cleopas and I of Christ. Christ, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Is Christ divided? Then if Christ isn't divided, how could the church be divided? Hallelujah. Therefore, the church must be oneness. And the only way to keep the oneness of the church is to keep preaching and teaching until we all come into the unity of the faith. Beloved, love one another. For love is of God, and he that knoweth God loveth God and loves everybody else in the church. Oh, hallelujah. There can't be differing opinions of what to believe in the body of Christ because it divides us and strips us of our power. And if you hear anything this morning, recognize that there has to be a unity of believers in order to have the full power of God within our midst. And the enemy wants to fragmentize us. He wants to divide us and have different opinions. Oh, well, I'll take that in consideration, preacher, but I think, look out, you're powerless. It took 10 days for the upper room to be unanimous in one accord. And there has to be a battle to keep the unity from that day forward within the church. But that is where the Spirit descends, and that is where the blessings of God is. Without the oneness, there can't be the Spirit, a moving Spirit, and there can't be the blessings that everybody wants. Would you turn to Psalms 133? Let's read the whole chapter. Verse number one, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity or oneness. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garment. You're talking about a heavy anointing. Amen. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. So the blessings and the anointing is always in the same place when people are unanimous or agree with one another. Amen. Thank God for agreement. See, when somebody says amen, what they're saying is, I agree with that. Amen. Now, let's try it.
Amen.
Wow. Power!
Amen.
What I have observed over the last 40 years, whenever someone in the church no longer believes in the pure doctrine that saved us, when they start to step away from the Acts 2 and 38 message, when it no longer seems to be so vital to them, or comes up with some new personal revelation that differs from the body, they're soon gone. And as much as I've prayed for them and wanted to keep them in the body, God separates them because the oneness of the body cannot be diluted. It cannot be fragmented. And when somebody comes up with this new idea, new revelation, or all of a sudden they have trouble believing and maintaining what saved them in the first place, God's saying, I'm sorry, you got to go. I've prayed, I've fasted for people, and God's saying, unless they come to their mind, sorry. See, this is my oneness body, you see. It is where the church was born, and it's where the church is going to leave. Amos 3 and 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, how many have called their enemies this week? You know, how many asked them to come on out? Let's get together. No, because we're not seeing eye to eye, so we avoid those people who don't have the same goals, amen, concepts, ideas, future. I find no scripture that indicates that we should fellowship the difference.
Amen.
Let's gather together and see how many different opinions we have. No, there's nothing in the Bible that says that. Turn to 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter. Second Thessalonians 3 and verse number 6. Paul says to the church of Thessalonica, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the traditions which he received of us." So what God is saying is, no, I'm sorry. We can't have the fellowship because they don't believe the way you believe anymore. Now, God commanded it. It wasn't Paul that commanded it. Well, why would he do that? It's so harsh because God is protecting the oneness of the church, the unity of the Spirit, and the blessings of God that fall upon us. Hallelujah. We can all sing kumbaya. We can all say, oh, we love everybody. But that doesn't necessarily allow us to have the oneness in God's church that allows the Spirit of God and the blessing of God to fall upon us. We can say it, but unless we really believe it, you see, just as we protect the oneness of God, we have to protect the oneness of the very church that we believe. When someone walks back in here after 20 years of being gone, you know what? They need to come back to the same experience that they once had. But if it's diluted, homogenized, they're not going to feel that, and it could be their spiritual life. I, as a pastor, have to preach it because the devil wants to divide and conquer the church of the living God. So if you'll turn back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter again. Starting in verse number 11. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? I've said this over and over again. In 1988, I was elected a pastor of this church with 23 people. And the first thing I did is I needed to look up the word pastor to figure out what I was supposed to do. I'd been in the church for some years, but I'd never been in that role before. And here's the definition. Why? For the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How? Till we all come into the oneness, unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Who wants the fullness of God? Who wants all of God? Then we have to be on the same page. And what does that prevent? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive in order to divide us up, to make us powerless. Glory to God. Amen. I have a nice car, but this week there was a little light on my dash that said, "One of your tires are low." You know, forget it. No big deal. I've got strong rims. You got any flashing lights going on? You're losing something. You're not riding the way you used to. Because there are some people who are ready with cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Really? That's not that important anymore? Get thee behind me. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. You got to see that God hasn't made us into bricks, but we're stones. And God puts us together, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint, not just the pastor, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of the faith, vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkness, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 13 says, till we all come into the unity or oneness of the faith and the fullness of Christ. Amen. So what it tells me is that if I'm not in unison, if we're not an orchestra, if we all are on the same page, they all on the same key, amen. When I was in the Army, I was graduating from basic training in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and I was engaged to my wife at the time, and she came down to see the graduation, and there were thousands of guys who were in this parade, and she was so impressed because everybody was marching in unison. You know, if there was just one person that was out of step, his head would go up while others were going down. But when everybody is marching together, it's an awesome sight. It's really powerful to see such unity in something that protects you. Amen. Glory to God. So would you turn to Genesis, the 11th chapter? Genesis chapter 11, and starting in verse number 1, familiar story. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. That's the way God wanted it. Everybody speaking the same thing. Amen. I've been in a lot of foreign countries, and, you know, it's just so hard to communicate. I'm glad I have another language. Amen. That I can communicate to God without any problems whatsoever. Amen. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So here's the deal. These people remembered the flood. They remembered the story. They remembered what happened and how God destroyed. And so now they're going to take things into their own hands to protect themselves with a tower. You know, when the tsunami comes, they're not going to have a problem. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. Not the children of God, the children of men. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. The people is one. God didn't have a problem with English. The people is one because they were so united in one cause, the wrong cause. They're a backslidden people. But even backslidden people, if they have the same cause, They're on the same page. God says, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Church, what if all were of one mind and one agreement within the church? Nothing would be restrained from us. Nothing could stop us. Hallelujah. Nothing that we imagined to do, we couldn't do. And when we are united in the love of God, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. According to what's inside us. Would you turn to Ephesians 3? Ephesians 3, starting in verse number 15. Did you know we all have the same name?
Amen.
15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to the strengthening with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So we find when we get to that place where we are total agreement, amen. You know where it starts? It starts before service when people start walking up here and start praying. And then we move into the song service. Amen. 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 See, this is working. This preaching is working.
Amen. Amen. Oh.
And then we all reach for our wallets.
Amen.
We all decide that we're going to do what's right. I have to admit to you, there have been times when I've been preaching the Word of God and there's somebody out there with body language. You know, there's a resistance of the Spirit of God because there's something out of place. Maybe in a Bible study in my living room, there hasn't ever been a Bible study in the hundreds of Bible studies that I've taught where there hasn't been a power of God moving in that place because there are just a few people and all of a sudden we all get to the place where the bells ring in heaven and we're all on the same page. It's like an upper room. But as the congregation gets bigger, some are here because they like the music. Some are here because I'm so handsome. Some are here because the chandeliers and the carpet. But when we're all here because we want this book to dominate our lives, oh God, oh God. Great things. Great things are going to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's work.
Yes, it is.
Some people think that they can live for God alone. Well, then there is no need for all of the body parts in the church. Just a few ears sitting on pews. But it's important that my whole body goes in the direction my head wants it to go. I'm sorry. I don't want to go. the whole body's got to go.
Amen.
You know, I need the arms for the steering wheel. I need the legs for the gas pedal and the brake.
Amen.
And there's not going to be, well, do you really want to go? Do you really want to go? Hallelujah. That's why it's important for the whole body to worship. The hands and the feet and the mouth and the vocal cords and especially the mind. But when I see parts of the body that aren't involved. Turn to Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. If you ever want some light reading, this is just an awesome book. Ecclesiastes 4, and starting in verse number 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Hallelujah. I really believe that it's good to have a prayer partner. Someone who says, you know what, let's agree that we're going to get together and pray. Let's agree that we're going to pray for something. Can we agree that your mother-in-law is going to be healed? You see, there's some real, and if for some reason you see me falling, would you somehow come to me? I know it may be an offense to me, but I love truth so much that if you see something in me, would you just come to me and say, hey, what's your deal here? Where were you? See, that's safety, according to the scripture. God smiles when he sees us standing together protecting one another. If someone comes after you, they're coming after me, folks, because you're a part of my body, you see. We are the church. We are the bride. We are the chosen one for whom the Savior died. We are the church. We've been redeemed. We are the soldiers of the cross. We are the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And the power of darkness shall not hide our light. Why? Because we're standing in unity. We are the church. Hallelujah. You cannot win a war without unity. The battles that we face are not our own. God fights for us when we all speak the same thing and when there is no division among us. Amen. Glory to God. Turn to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. One year I think I took 3 weeks just to preach on these verses because there's so much in them. Ephesians 6, starting in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Somebody ought to underline that. I'm having problems with someone at work. I'm having problems with somebody in my family. But what God is saying is, you know what? We're not fighting against flesh and blood. You know, we've made a stand. We believe in the word of God. We're going to live for God. And as a result, there's going to be some attacks. There's going to be some war, even within the family. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I will not listen to the news anymore. You know what? It's the prince of the air. Nothing but negative, attacking authority within this world. And that's exactly what the enemy of our soul would want in the church, to attack the authority, because once the authority is gone, then there isn't any protection for us. So what's the answer? Wherefore, take on to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking on the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Amen. Thank God we can do that. And watching thereunto with all perseverance, meaning I'm standing, and supplication for, all saints. That's where we overcome. The Roman armies had a very effective tactic used in their battle. The soldiers would assemble in a rectangular formation, and they all had a big shield that would cover them from their collarbone down to their knees, and then they had something that was like a shin guard from below there, and then they would lock shields together in this rectangular formation, and the spear would stick out in between the shields, and then they would start moving towards the enemy, and the closer they got, the faster they would move, and it just demoralized the enemy, seeing there was such continuity, such unity, such a formation of people who were listening to the captain of the army, that they said, we're out of here. Hallelujah. Their helmets covered them from the neck up. You see, this will preach also. It demoralized people. Not having an opening. We can't allow an opening. Did you hear about what's his name? I kind of thought they'd leave. You're putting a whole gap. You know what you're saying? If our unsaved relatives hear about an insurrection within the church, I knew it. Those people are a bunch of hypocrites, phonies. Let's get in formation. Let's do what's right. Psalms 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. God even understands that he wants to have his angels in formation to completely surround you and I when it comes to battles. Even nature gives us a vivid picture of how the church should respond to some kind of threat. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but the water buffalo stands shoulder to shoulder around their young calf, staring down the predator with their horns out towards the predator, and it makes a circle that is just about invincible by any of the predators, you know? And when we have young saints within the church, or we have somebody who's sick, or somebody who's going into a problem or a battle, somebody ought to get in formation and completely surround them and say, you're not getting to them. Their unity in the face of danger is the greatest defense against any kind of enemy. Now, Jesus put much emphasis on just two or three people who would get together. It doesn't seem like we have a big circle of people with just two people. You know, we need the whole church to pray. And I'm all for that. But according to Jesus, we've got just as much power in agreement with two or three people as we have with 400 people praying. Turn to Matthew 18, please. Matthew 18 and verse number 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. Right in the middle. Can you see the power of this? Three people standing in a circle doesn't make a very big circle, but God is right in the middle of it, listening to the harmony of what they're asking. Just two or three will not impress the world, and it won't be a perfect performance like it is with a 100-man choir. But whenever two or three are gathered together, the devil is shaking in his boots. Because our scripture tells us there is Jesus right in the middle. He is present because of the two or three who are in complete agreement. We're a whole family. We got the same name. We have the same belief. We have one God. We have the Holy Ghost. We have an understanding of what pleases God. Amen. And when all of that comes together in a few people, we've got power that you can't see. Jesus is living inside of me. Would you turn to Zechariah, the second chapter, second last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse number 5. Here's a similar scripture. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire around about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Glory. God's tactic is to surround us and be in the middle of whatever. He prepareth a table in the presence of our enemies. Listen, unity is more powerful than great numbers. There are a lot of people who want to be a part of great numbers. But with great numbers comes great difficulty in order to have unity or oneness of the body. Jesus had trouble with just 12. Just 12. Amen. You have to have agreement. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Want revival? Got to have agreement first. Amen. Now, this is going to be our last scripture in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. unless God gives me more scriptures.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 10. I use some of these scriptures a lot, and there are even people who are annoyed by them. I don't understand why, but, well, I guess I do. Verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering."
Right.
Why? "For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." So part of our job is speaking in love, keeping the profession that we've called to, but saying, you know what? We got to be on the same page on this. And then it goes on to say, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching."
Amen.
I looked at the scripture yesterday with a much greater perspective. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Can we see the picture here of a mighty army encircled arm in arm with Jesus in the middle? Some, as the scripture is saying, is they're not comfortable with gathering together. It's not so important. And they put their spiritual and even physical life in danger because they're not willing to get in formation in unity, to have God in the very middle of everything that protects them and keeps them. And we see the day approaching. We understand that there's going to be perilous times, the end time. And so now we don't need to hold hands anymore. We don't need to encircle our beliefs anymore. I need the protection of the circle of saints.
Amen.
You see. And you got to be glad that there is somebody who's going to encircle, encamp you when you have a problem, a need. We got people who sign up for prayer band, and that thing goes off probably two or three times a day. But you have to understand the privilege of circling around somebody who has a problem. Because it's saying, I'll put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
I'll protect you. I still believe in the old ways. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I was hoping for a more unanimous.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to see God do great things.
Yes, amen.
I really do.
Yes, amen.
And I don't want it to be the fault of us because there's some little issue within our life that, well, Pastor, I'll take it as a suggestion, but, I've said this before. When we go down to Mexico a lot, and the stop signs there are just a suggestion. I rarely ever see anybody stop at a stop sign, you know? And it puts in jeopardy the lives of a lot of people because, well, I know nothing's going to happen. And if we get that kind of mindset that this thing isn't important anymore, it's just something we used to do, well, then we put our whole protection and our blessings and the anointing and Spirit of God in jeopardy. I want God to do great things, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Brother Shani, when you were going through basic training and the drill sergeant said, "This is what I want you to do," you would reply, "Yes, drill sergeant, sir." Amen. And if you went to another person and another person and another person, oh, the dictates, oh, the harassment, oh, how can they do that? I'll tell you why. Because when you get in battle, and you're facing an enemy, and your life is in jeopardy, when that sergeant or that captain or that lieutenant says, "Hey, this is what I want you to do," you don't say, "Well, could you give me the reasons again?" No, you just respond, because it could be your life, folks. Amen. I don't want anybody in here to miss heaven, because of one little issue. Amen. Hallelujah. Could you clap your hands to God? Would you make your way to this altar?